Welcome to the Omics Exchange. Today, I'm speaking with two members of the GA4GH Genomic Knowledge Standards Workstream, or GKS. Larry Babb is a software engineer at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, and Alex Wagner is an assistant professor at the Nationwide Children's Hospital and the Ohio State University College of Medicine. Larry and Alex are co-leads of the Variation Representation Specification, or VRSS. This is an open source, community-driven spec that lays out a computational framework for representing biomolecular variation. It enables computers to describe information about variation in order to support federated data exchange. Welcome, Larry and Alex.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Angela.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I just read a whole bunch about the two of you, and I wanted to get to you as quickly as possible. And I left a couple of things out in the intro, which is exactly what is the Genomic Knowledge Standards Workstream, and why are you guys involved? Why do you care about it? What brings you here?
So my involvement with the Genomic Knowledge Workstream came about through my participation in the ClinGen Driver Project and the ClinGen Grant. I work for Heidi Rehm, who is a voracious advocate for data sharing, transparency, data exchange, all that kind of thing related to genetic variation and genetic test results to improve the quality of clinical care around genomics. And worked for her for several years, close to 15 years now, actually. And it's been her passion to have me do the best I can to help promote standards in data sharing.
Yeah, and I got involved with the Genomic Knowledge Standards Workstream through my work with one of the driver projects of GA4GH, which is the Variant Interpretation for Cancer Consortium. Years ago, I was doing my postdoctoral research at Washington University, and my work focused on how we can harmonize content from different knowledge bases, which are used to interpret variants. So I helped build this knowledge base called CIVIC, which is a clinical interpretation of variants in cancer knowledge base. But I also was concerned about the content in these various other knowledge bases like OncoKB and the Jackson Labs clinical knowledge base and things like that, bringing it all together and making it all be represented the same way. And it turns out that's really hard. And it turns out that these different frameworks talk to each other very differently, even in the same domain. And so there was a lot of work that went into trying to harmonize across these resources. And then from that, I learned that there's actually quite a bit of work that needs to be done more globally about how we describe genomic knowledge across all such knowledge bases, both in the somatic cancer space where I'm from, as well as over in the ClinGen's germline space, which is more of what Larry focuses on. And so through that work, I decided to get engaged in the Genomic Knowledge Standards Workstream to help drive development of those standards. And eventually I was invited on with Larry to co-lead the variant representation team and build out the VRSS specification.
That's great. Thank you both so much. And I think that's a great segue into my first question, which is, what is the challenge? What is the Genomic Knowledge Standards Workstream remit, and why does it exist? What challenge in the world is it trying to solve?
So, like I said, I've been working with Heidi and the clinical genetics community for about 15 years. And it was way back at the beginning of that time when we were trying very hard to produce genetic test results, clinical genetic test results with interpreted classified variation, interpreted for a particular case, return it to a patient and a clinician in an electronic health record. And when we pursued this endeavor many years ago, it became very clear that both on the lab side and producing these classifications, these curated bits of knowledge around a particular kind of variation that may be pathogenic for disease, that there was a need to create a database where variants were abstracted away from the case level data, where you could generate and collect evidence about it and then curate it to prove your classifications. And there was really no model. There's no standard out there. Now, at the beginning, we used standards that were quote unquote standards like HGBS, which we'll talk about maybe in a little bit, or ISCN, but there was really nothing that was standardized at that point. So for years since, every time we have built one of these applications or pieces of software to exchange with these different communities, it's become very clear that there needs to be some kind of data structure, some kind of format where we can reliably send this information to each other and trust that it's being done accurately and precisely. Otherwise, clinical care will never benefit from it.
Yeah. So that's the question I really want to get at there. That last thing you said, like, how will it change clinical care to solve that problem that you're talking about?
So, you know, right now, when we try and evaluate variants that we observe in the clinical setting, so I work at a children's hospital, the Institute for Genomic Medicine. And when we try and solve a case here, you know, we have variant scientists who sit and evaluate the individual variants observed in a tumor, for example, and try and determine what their clinical significance is. And this process takes them a very long time because they have to get into this headspace of, okay, what's all the content of the databases I'm looking at? And how does that relate to the variants that we observed in our clinical assays? And they have to apply a lot of their own knowledge to match up those concepts. And a big reason for this is that the computable format for representing that knowledge in those knowledge bases doesn't really sync up with the sort of structured formats that already exist for variants that come out of these assays. And we're all familiar with those things like VCF and HGVS. And so being able to kind of associate computationally what's coming out of these machines and these assays with what's in these knowledge bases is a big gap. And what that means is, of course, that these analysts need to spend a lot of time thinking about how to connect those dots. And I feel like what we're trying to accomplish here is provide that framework by which a machine or a clinical decision support system can collect that evidence and apply it programmatically to the variants that you observe in an assay, and thus save those analysts that time of doing that matching. And they can spend more of their time focusing on kind of the validation of that matching.
That's great. Something you said in there, I want to pick apart, and maybe this will speak to something Larry said also, something we're all familiar with, HGVS and VCF. So I'm not familiar with these things. I know them only because you guys have talked to me about them before. And I think that Larry talked about the different, like, sort of the landscape of standards that are out there. Could you talk a little bit more about that and explain why this framework for harmonization is kind of necessary? You know, we already have this standard that you guys have alluded to. What is that, and why is it, you know, why do we need something else?
Well, I want to make sure it's clear here, and I think many people that are in this space know this, so we don't often say it out loud, but this is a very big problem, right? You know, there's billions and trillions of variants out there in the human genome and in other organisms and whatnot. There's different reference sequences that people use, different assemblies, different builds, different genome builds, and different technologies that are used to call these assays. Our job isn't necessarily to get all the way upstream into how the assays do their calling and eventually realize what variant it is that they're finding in a patient's sample. Our job is, once that's identified, is taking all those different forms, however they may come down the pipe, and put them onto a normalized playing field where the structure and the semantics and the content is all done the same way. There's differences related to how people refer to the position of the bases. For example, in our standard, we use what's called an interbase coordinate system versus counting the position of where the actual residues live. We count the spaces in between. This is something some folks have done out in the industry, but it's not necessarily widespread per se. But this is something we've taken on. And we worked really hard to sort of build from the ground up some of the basic small concepts of small sequence changes. But we're also using this platform to expand it out into much more complex things like gene fusions and structural variants and copy number variants. So it's all built on the same kind of information model. And with that information model and the tools to use it, we're very confident, that this will be something that will really help the field make this data much more interoperable and really open up the space for data sharing.
All right, so now we've got a little bit of the landscape. I introduced in the beginning the variation representation specification, VERS. So can you tell our listeners what is this standard and how does it work? What does it do?
Yeah, so VERS at its core is a way of representing the fundamental bits and bytes of variation, right? So we start out with things as, you know, conceptually grounded as a genomic location, you know, interval or range on a sequence. And we call those sequence locations. And then on top of that, we build more complex entities like alleles, where it's the state at a given sequence location. And, you know, we can represent other forms of variation inside VERS. Currently, we can represent things like alleles, but also things like haplotypes, copy number variation. And we try and distinguish the semantics of variation a little bit, like by saying things like the difference between a tandem duplication, where the same sequence is repeated twice in a row, directly adjacent to each other, versus the sense of you've got two or three or four X copies throughout your system, your genome. And, you know, making those semantic distinctions is a big important part of what we do. And the way that we do it in Verse is through something we call value object representation. And this is basically that minimal core computational representation where we are representing only those fundamental characteristics that describe it. And to give you an example of what I mean, you can consider, for example, a street address. This is kind of the way that you might describe to another person where a building is, right? You know, 123 Main Street. And that's what we think of as like a label or maybe a registered identifier. But the value object for that building might be something more like the actual latitude and longitude coordinates. It's the fundamental characteristic of where that location is. It's kind of immutable, that doesn't change over time. That place is always that place, and you can always reference it as long as you're under using the same coordinate system. And so this is the way that Verse kind of differs from other similar frameworks. The other ones, you know, might, for example, talk about things in more descriptive terms that are more human intelligible, that might involve registration, whereas Verse is more about those fundamental constituent elements, the salient elements of what constitutes a variant.
So how is the community currently using the Verse standard? Is it pretty widespread yet? And what is the audience for this? Who are the people you're trying to reach with this standard?
Yeah, I think that the primary audience for people that are interested in Verse or any of the other genomic knowledge standards are people that are trying fundamentally to connect variation to human knowledge about variation. And, you know, and in particular, how you do that with regard to different systems, different exchanges, and where it's being applied, you know, as Larry and I mentioned earlier, we represent driver projects, the Global Alliance for Genomics and Health, and these are like real world data initiatives. And we're bringing these shared concerns to the table and implementing Verse and associated, you know, nascent GKS specifications to help us with how we structure the content of resources like that found in ClinVar or in Civic or in the other resources I mentioned earlier. And so that's primarily where we're applying it. And then I think that there's, of course, the broader suite of tools that we've developed to help facilitate community adoption. And among those, we have the Verse Python library, which is built off of a set of core utilities called the BioCommons stack, which helps us with things like how we look up reference sequences with various identifiers over time, how we do things like translate between genomic assemblies and things like that. And between all of these tools in that stack and the Verse Python package, we're able to do a lot of the translation work we need for our own projects. But more importantly, this makes Verse accessible to other groups as well. And one of the things we're doing to try and help facilitate community engagement, and we just published on this specification last November, in order for us to help, you know, facilitate engagement, we are actually holding a hackathon this summer.
I want to make sure it's clear to the folks listening that, you know, we're not naive in thinking that this is a trivial thing we're doing. And to some, it might feel like, you know, we're trying to boil the ocean in a way. But the fact of the matter is, this is desperately needed. People are trying to do this regardless if we're doing it or not. I've worked many years with HL7 clinical genomics work groups that are very passionate, and, you know, it's necessary for them to figure out how to represent genes and variants and sequences as they share data across the wire through the FHIR protocols that are emerging. And in fact, that was one of the things that we've set up here in JFRGH is to collaborate with them to some degree and hopefully inform them with the standard that we develop here. Ideally, that would happen as a result of us demonstrating that these tools and these systems that we're piloting early on are truly effective and have the promise to solve this problem, this in a long-term kind of a model. So Alex and I are leads on these two driver projects, him on Vic and myself, I'm on ClinGen. And we both have our little development teams here where we're working to build up and prove out that these tools and these standards work. And at the end of the day, we hope by the end of this year, maybe by plenary, we can bring and show folks how ClinVar and Civic, what they would look like and how you would use them in this GA4GH standardized form. And finally, I'd like to sort of note that it's not just Verse. Verse is not the whole solution here. We're working with the other GKS teams, the RefGet team that does the sequence modeling and the variant annotation team that is working on sort of the structure of the knowledge statements themselves. These three elements, the variant annotation, the variant representation, and the RefGet work, all work together to solve this problem of representing knowledge so that it can be computable, scalable, interoperable, and hopefully open up the floodgates to greater discovery.
That's great, Larry. Thank you. And I was thinking of something that I've heard you talk about before, which I hope I phrase this correctly, but sort of the commercial incentive behind this. You're saying you're not boiling the ocean. It's a really big problem, but it's really needed and there's value in doing this. So how is this going to help, you know, the commercial clinical labs that you talk about all the time? Like, what's in it for them?
So in the past, I have worked for commercial labs. In fact, a product that we wrote, which was a product that enabled us to take clinical genetic test results from a lab and put it into an electronic form and send it over the wire to a provider. One of the biggest hurdles that we had, one of the biggest challenges that that whole industry needed was that connection of how do we get this electronic health record with genetic data into the electronic health record system. And this lab report, you know, typically today, what you'll find out is if you do any kind of research on this, you'll find out that almost 100% of these reports are in some kind of a PDF form or a faxed image or something like that. And that's almost useless to being able to discover and pull out the elements to figure out if there's a correlation between certain demographic groups and certain variations and certain diseases. And we really need to get this data in there in electronic form, not only to do discovery and research on this data, but also to be able to inform patients and doctors when there's updates made to those variants in terms of the knowledge. New knowledge is found outside the system, and you want to report it back to people that already have these existing variants. You want to give them the best, latest information in real time so that those doctors can treat them properly.
There's also a lot to be said about the people that are consuming this information and how it helps them, right? So the other side of the, you know, commercial perspective, these are healthcare providers that are looking to consume data about genomic variation and use that knowledge to help drive clinical decision making. And, you know, as we move towards an ecosystem of, you know, federated knowledge providers, because the space of genomic knowledge is so large, you know, the ability to be able to pull that data in and use it in its native format without going through all the data munging and data harmonization exercises that are so challenging opens the doors to allow community providers to benefit as much as their large academic hospitals that can afford these teams to do all of that harmonization work. So one of the big advantages to us building the standards by which these knowledge providers can do this is to provide the means by which possible knowledge consumers can collect that data and use it in, you know, community practice and not just at large academic centers.
That's really important. It leads me to another question sort of about the community. So, you know, the three of us are all based in the US and we've mentioned a few different driver projects that are international projects, but based in the US. How is the broader international community of GA4GH participating in GKS and in the VERS development? And, you know, the medical system, the healthcare record is different in every single country. So is this really transferable through it for international data exchange?
I would say, in my perspective on this, just listening and watching some of the groups that we get to work with on the Global Alliance over there in Europe in particular, that they actually have an advantage in a way because they are, most of them, working on national healthcare systems where they get that sort of government and kind of support around the idea of structuring the data. So they're not as conflated with all these different vendors pushing their different kinds of data exchange quote unquote standards, you know, versus Epic versus this versus that. Now, I would say that those other groups in Europe have a much better likelihood of being able to stand up and realize the value of GKS and VERS in particular. And I think they are. I mean, we're engaged in VERS and in VA with some groups at EBI that are looking to take some of the data that they produce and put it into a standard form using VERS. And we hope that that continues. You know, we're always talking with different people on the Elixir project and some of the other groups over there. But I'll see if maybe Alex has some other things he could add here.
No, I think that's a great point. And to a broader perspective, you know, what we're trying to build here with Verse, as we mentioned before, this is unlike things like, you know, VCF, for example, which is its own kind of file format that is, you know, structured and has its own parameters under which you can fill it out. Verse is designed to be a data object that you can stick into more complex documents and structures, and it fits in a lot of different places and contexts. And what's useful about that is that you can then put it into larger, more complex standards. I mean, we're talking about electronic health records, right? Another big GA4GH standard recently came out, it's the PhenoPacket standard, right? Version 2. And Verse is part of that, right? We can help represent variation inside of PhenoPackets, which is a larger, more complex data structure, as kind of something that you can slot in or mix into the larger picture.
I feel like I might finally be starting to understand Verse after having been talking to you guys about this for a few years now. Are you working with the Beacon V2 team as well in the way that they're trying to turn up clinical information? Is there any overlap there?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. So Beacon also did adopt the Verse standard as one of its variation formats. So you can do things. They have the old Beacon V1 format as well, which I think they call legacy variation, as well as Verse variation in there. So they do support both. And what's nice about Beacon is that, you know, it's actually natively implemented the same framework that Verse is, which is JSON schema, which is a way that computers talk to one another in a structured way. And so Verse actually plays quite nicely with the Beacon V2 standard, which was recently approved. And more than that, you know, you had asked about, you know, kind of the international community and other groups participating. And I had forgotten to mention that, you know, there are a number of driver projects that are very interested in adopting this. So like our colleagues over in the SPHN, the Swiss Personalized Health Network, have a strong interest in adopting these standards as they mature, as do, you know, some of our colleagues in other, you know, large networks, like, you know, Larry mentioned these government-supported community hospital networks. For example, our colleagues over at ZPM, which is the Centers for Personalized Medicine in Germany. It's part of the German national healthcare system. So there are large national initiatives, I think, do have a strong interest in adopting and applying these standards as they're developed. And I think that the real challenge as we go forward is just, you know, making sure that we are communicating clearly with them about where the standards are in terms of their development, how they can get engaged, and how they can help continue to build this community and the tooling around it so that they can have a robust standard that stands the test of time.
That's fabulous. Exactly where I was about to go next. How can people get involved in this? What is your call to action here for listeners?
It's a great question. The call to action. I would say, you know, first of all, the first thing I would recommend is go out to the Global Alliance website and find Verse. We have our own specs stood up there at verse.ga4gh.org. That would be a great starting point. We have a nice article we wrote recently in Cell Genomics. It was published a few months ago that is referenced there on the front page of the Verse spec. You can link into and read that. That'll give you some, you know, real technical details on what it is and where it's going. We're constantly updating it. We have a draft branch of Verse. You know, we're always trying to improve and get out. Alex and I right now are heads down, very much heads down, and trying to develop and deliver a demonstrable set of real-world projects through this Civic data and the ClinVar data for ClinGen, and really get that formalized both in this nascent and early VA spec that's come out, but with our more mature VR Verse spec embedded in it. And we really would love to have that in hand and ready to distribute and share with the public by the plenary in September. For folks to get involved with us, we have meetings every other Monday. You can sort of reach out to GA4GH and sign up and get on that list. That's a great way to do it. But if anyone wants to go out to our Verse Python GitHub repo and download it, you know, I could tell you that Alex's team is working on some interesting things to make it easier for people to come up to speed on it. Maybe Alex, you can talk about some of the notebook stuff.
Yeah. So one of the things we're developing to help people kind of with the bridge from where they are currently to using this computable framework in Verse are tools that allow for the translation of these different variance representation formats into Verse. And we have like a live variation normalization service. We have, as I mentioned, this Verse Python library. But for people that are just getting started and just want to learn about Verse, it can be a bit of a lift to get from, you know, absolutely no information about it to I've got this production translation service running. And it involves, you know, spinning up these sequence databases and some translation tools and a lot of stuff that, you know, you only need to do once, but it is still kind of, you know, a little bit of effort to get going, especially as you're trying to bridge from other formats. And so one of the things we're doing is building out some native web services like cloud-based notebooks, where you can go out and you can put in a URL in your browser and you get a little Jupyter notebook and you can play with the cells and start making Verse objects immediately, no installation required. So you can just start playing with it. And this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about this summer at the Bioinformatics Open Source Conference at ISMB 22. And we're going to be playing with it a little bit at our hackathon.
All right. So you've mentioned a few of the variant classes that you guys have rolled out already. Where are you going next? What is on the radar for the Verse team, and where maybe people could see themselves getting involved in sort of the next steps of the work?
Yeah. So where are we going next? Okay. So I think that one of the big gaps that remains for variant representation is how, you know, I mentioned earlier, bridging from where we are today to where we want to be tomorrow. There's an entire missing vocabulary around variation. We call this categorical variation. And this vocabulary is really around how you talk about variation as a domain entity. So like a collection of different variants that all kind of correspond to that same piece of knowledge. You know, if you do a clinical trial and you get a bunch of patients and they all have a shared characteristic of their variation, you report on that characteristic. There's no language for describing that characteristic. All you can do is represent the individual variant that was observed. And what we do in knowledge bases today is we just pick kind of like one representative context and we hope that there's a match. But you might miss a bunch of stuff because you picked a representative context that doesn't match the context you observed in your patient. And so what we want to do is provide that vocabulary, that, you know, that syntax for saying, here's the collection of variants that would match this knowledge that we can then build an engine for to match the observed variant in your assay to that knowledge. And that categorical variation specification is part of what we're calling Versatile, which is the Verse added tools for interoperable loquacious exchange, previously known as interoperable Larry exchange. And, you know, the Versatile framework also contains this other specification called value object descriptors. And value object descriptors are a way of being able to put a bunch of different human readable labels on top of these computable objects. So if you're used to talking about 123 Main Street, you could put 123 Main Street on top of the X and Y coordinates for your geographical position so that when people receive that, they've got both that computable form that they can use for that exchange, but they can also put the labels on that they're used to seeing. And these two things together comprise Versatile.
We're working with some already well-established resources, like we've already talked about ClinVar and Civic. We talk to NCBI and ClinVar and keep them up to date on what we're doing. We've actually talked to the folks that put together dbSNP, and we've actually gotten an early version of Verse in the dbSNP data files when you download them. I think they have the ability to, in their API service, to look up by Verse IDs or to at least get the Verse IDs for dbSNP references. But we also work with the ClinGen Allele Registry, which has become a very pretty well-known resource and service that many folks in the industry are looking towards to sort of solving an even bigger problem than what Verse is dealing with. You know, not only are we dealing with the contextualizing and normalizing the variants, but this notion of when you have a bunch of variants that are all sort of derived from each other, you know, you have this one change down in your DNA and that ends up creating a change in certain transcripts that it happens to align with, and therefore changes to a protein that those transcripts produce. A lot of folks like to think of all the changes, whether it's the protein, the transcript, and the DNA genomic change, all as sort of the same variant. And there's that notion is called a canonical variation. And the ClinGen Allele Registry deals with this very well. They often refer to it as deduplicating variants, so that you can really help discover and find them and find the information related to all the different forms of it. This is a huge deal in the curation work that is done by so many industries out there that are trying to collect knowledge around variants and trying to help learn whether those variants are pathogenic for disease or deleterious or benign, or, you know, have some effect on therapeutic response for a drug or whatever it might be. So we are working with all those groups, and we will continue to build this up and try to get the entire community working on all parts. So if you're out there and you're working on anything related to this, and you want to jump in and sort of test out how can we use Verse to sort of be part of the game, come and join us at one of our meetings. Send us an email. Get on the GitHub repository. You know, you'll see Alex and me all littered all over there. Mm-hmm. And you can make a reference to us, and we will do our best to help you become engaged.
Well, I think that is a fabulous note to end on. Thank you both so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks for having us. It was a real pleasure to be here today.
Yes, very enjoyable. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you for listening to the Omics Exchange, a podcast of the Global Alliance for Genomics and Health. The Omics Exchange is produced by Connor Graham, Stephanie Lee, and Julia Ostman, edited by Biljana Gajek, with music created by Rishi Nag. GA4GH is the international standards organization for genomics aimed at accelerating human health through data sharing. I'm Angela Page, and this is the Omics Exchange.